Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Like I said, I wish I could do this process under a rock. You know what I'm saying? Just to myself and pop out whenever I felt like I was super, super duper, you know, ready to be a pro bowler. You know what I'm saying? But I think it's power in being out here every day and doing my process in front of the world, you know. And I always wanted to stand for something bigger than myself. That was my goal my whole life. You know, I had goals within this game, but, you know, life goals, that was the biggest thing. I wanted to stand for something bigger than myself, and I have the opportunity to do that now, and I'm going to fulfill that.
That's Damar Hamlin back in pads less than 7 months after suffering cardiac arrest on the field in Cincinnati. What a ride it has been for him.
Man.
And, hey, you got to process a lot mentally.
Oh,
physically,
that's right.
By all appearances, he's fine. And commotio cordis, the condition that seems to be the consensus that occurred, the very rare outcome of taking a blow to the chest and causing the heart to stop. It happens a lot with youth baseball. I remember when my son played, he had the plate that you wear right here on your sternum to kind of take that blow and dissipate it so it doesn't concentrate and cause the heart to stop. It does happen. The sensitivity to those issues, the AEDs that are showing up everywhere now, the donations that have been made by teams like the Saints and the Packers, Damar Hamlin's Foundation, that's all great stuff flowing from this. But now we're back to football. He's back in pads. And how could you not at some level not be thinking, was it really just a fluke lightning strike, or am I susceptible to this in some way? And is it going to happen to me again?
Yeah.
I would be thinking that. How could a normal human being not be at least considering the possibility that it wasn't just some fluke thing that could have happened to anyone? It's something specific that happened to me that could happen again.
There's going to be some mental blocks and mental hurdles he's going to have to continue to overcome there. There's no doubt about that. I can speak to that to a degree. You know, losing my spleen that next year when I got to play in the preseason, I was as nervous as I ever was. You know, practice was one hurdle, but I didn't get hit in practice. I was a quarterback. You know, and I wasn't totally healthy, but okay, wait, I'm practicing. But, like, was my mind racing and my heart beating extra fast the first time I had to go out and go, wait, am I going to, you know, when I get hit in the chest here, what's going to happen? You know, because I had a big scar. When somebody puts their helmet right in my stomach, like, is my scar going to be okay? I mean, so those thoughts are, of course, are going to go through your brain. And with his case, which is even more dire and crazy, how could they not? So, yeah, that's going to be something that he's going to have to tackle literally in his brain day by day. Because like he said in one of his quotes too, right, hey, football is a sport where, you know, hesitation, it doesn't favor the people who hesitate. You know, we talk about the great teams all the time, the great players, they don't hesitate. Coach says run through the wall, they run through the wall. You know, when you start to hesitate and think, that's usually the guy that does get hurt or something happens. And, you know, those are the things he's going to have to continue to battle with and the demons he'll deal with in his brain here over the next few weeks.
I mean, you get hurt or you get caught flat-footed and the guy runs right by you.
Exactly.
He's not hesitating while you're hesitating.
Right.
That's
right.
A great point.
Right.
When did you, how long did it take for you to get past that very natural and understandable trepidation about the you know, your scar and whether you'd have some other injury, and was it something that ever went away?
No, it did go away. It did. But I would say after I played a game, I want to say it was Miami Dolphins, a preseason game there, and, you know, had a little success, moved in the pocket a little bit, and took a few shots. And I remember, you know, after really the first drive, coming out of the game and then walking on the field in the second drive and going, like, a big breath and going, okay, I'm okay. I remember this game right here. This is football. All right, let's do it. Like, I took a shot. I feel okay. All right. I mean, I knew I still wasn't totally physically myself throwing the football and all that, but I knew I could take the shot and do that. And that went a long way. And then, you know, so I would say after that first drive for somebody like me, I was a lot different person after that moment and felt like, okay, this is, you know, like riding a bike per se or something like that. Let's get back at it.
And I think that's going to be the key for DeMar Hamlin. Back in a game setting with a full stadium.
Yeah.
Delivering a hit.
A big
taking
hit.
Taking a hit.
Right.
Taking a contact to
the chest, yes.
And getting up and,
right.
And keep going.
Yeah.
And because it was a routine hit. Remember all that stuff about
the craziness.
D. Higgins and
right.
And yeah. No, it was a routine hit that happens all the time. And the sooner DeMar Hamlin takes another hit like that and has that same epiphany you did, okay, I'm fine, I'm back, here we go, then he's back to playing football. And it's good to see him back on the field. Obviously, it's good to see him in pads, and we'll see him in the preseason here coming up next weekend. Okay, the Broncos had a couple of receivers that now no longer in the mix. Tim Patrick, for the second straight year, a training camp injury that knocks him out for the season. He goes from an ACL last year to a complete tear of the Achilles yesterday. It's, again, it happens when you have football practice. It's one of the injuries that the guys who are out there cutting and making the sudden movements, that's where that tendon, it seems like a very delicate part of the body, and it can go, and it went. And now Tim Patrick, done for the year for the Denver Broncos, Chris.
Yeah, that stinks for Tim Patrick. I mean, he's a hell of a player. He really is. You know, it's unfortunate he had the injury last year. And it's just unfortunate we see this so much in sports in general. You know, guy bounces back from a serious injury, but there another serious injury occurs because they've had to overcompensate or something's still not working the right way. And, that's a tough one for Tim Patrick and of course, Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. He's big. He's a good route runner. He's one of those guys when he's covered, he's still not covered, and he can separate. So that's one less weapon. It's not a killer to their football team, but certainly hurts. They got Cortland Sutton. They got Judy. You know, they drafted a Marvin Mims. Tim Patrick, he was going to be a big part of that offense. That's where it hurts.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Also for the Denver Broncos, without Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler stepping away from the game for treatment of pericarditis, a heart issue, on the non-football injury list, actually waived by the Denver Broncos, was KJ Hamler. So they're down two receivers in one fell swoop. It just shows you how quickly a depth chart can change and how quickly a need can arise for the free agents that are out there still waiting for an opportunity. Plenty of names at every position just waiting for that phone call. Once we get into training camp, this is the kind of stuff that will happen that will create an opportunity for someone who's currently waiting for that call, Chris.
Exactly right. And, you know, Sean Payton's smart, too. You know, he doesn't put all his eggs in one basket. He's got some guys that have been in the system before. Marquez Callaway's there, right? So he'll, oh, wait, I know how to do the Tim Patrick role, right? Even little Jordan Humphrey, who's been around the NFL a little bit, he spent some time with the Saints. So he's got some guys that way. And then you see if the rookies can pop up too. And then, you know, like you said, you assess that and see how that goes over the next few weeks. And if there's a receiver out in the street or somebody else that you go, okay, wait, I don't trust these young guys, or this guy's not made to do that, we need somebody else, then they'll do that and dive into that. But, you know, as it stands right now, it stinks for Tim Patrick. He certainly was going to have a big role in the offense. But I don't think I don't look at it as a game breaker, at least for the Denver Broncos. I still think Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton were always going to be targets number one and two, and that'll continue here as long as they stay healthy.
One thing I've been curious about with Peyton,
yeah,
as we get closer to week one and as the Saints move toward trimming down their roster, will there be guys that maybe the Saints are ready to move on from that were Peyton guys,
uh-huh,
that Peyton will trade for, right? Just, you know, low round pick to get one of the guys that would have otherwise passed through waivers and maybe he couldn't have gotten. But I've been keeping my eye on the possibility of transactions between the Broncos and the Saints as the Saints come to conclusions about guys that maybe they just don't see fitting anymore, but that Peyton would welcome because,
sure,
he feels a certain way about them that maybe the people in New Orleans who are still there don't.
Yeah, yeah. I certainly would have my eye out for that too. You know, right? And what else does it do, Mike, right? Just like, you know, it like Marquez Callaway probably does. You get a few guys from your old regime. It helps to start this new culture here. You know, oh, we got a linebacker from the Saints. Now the linebacker, you know, he could tell the other, hey, expect this. Sean's going to go in the meeting today. He's going to be pissed. He's going to be mother effing us. I mean, just whatever it is, they'll be able to, you know, lay the groundwork a little bit for what to expect and how to do things the Sean Payton way. And, yeah, it's good. That's always makes coaches warm and cozy. We see that all the time. And, yeah, I would think he's got his eye on their roster a little bit and some guys he knows that, you know, he knows might fall off cuts when that time comes.
Well, stay in the AFC West. Albert Breer of SI.com on his training camp tour had a conversation with Patrick Mahomes, and there were a couple of things that stood out to me, and I just want to mention this. We can talk about it a little bit. The other point is one that I think requires a bit more unpacking, but Mahomes recognizes, and this is just a promise for Chiefs fans and a warning to all other fans that he's only going to get better. Because one of the things he's determined to do, and one of the reasons he's glad he has Blaine Gabbert now on the team, because Gabbert's been with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, Mahomes is desperate to get to the point that Brady was, that he knows what's coming before the snap. So he doesn't have to run around with his hair on fire waiting for something to materialize. As he gets older, he's not going to be able to run as effectively relative to the guys chasing him. At some point, he needs to be more confined to the pocket and rifle the ball to the guy that he knows is going to be open based upon what he sees on the other side of the ball before the snap. And he is obsessed, Chris, with gathering that same kind of knowledge. And the more you play, the more you see, the less you're fooled. So with each year, he's got 5 as a starter. You give him 5 more, I don't know what it's going to take, 7, 10 years total in the NFL. You give him 5 more as a starter, and I think he'll be there. And it's only going to make him better.
I would agree. I mean, the guy's a gym rat. I mean, he's a gym rat. He wants to tear your soul out. He wants to win every game in the history of football. I mean, he wants it all. He does. And he's driven to do that. That's why, you know, you love him. And I don't think there's any doubt that he'll continue that fight to improve himself that way and have that, you know, let's say Tom Brady, Peyton Manning type knowledge, right? Where, yeah, it's like they're robots and they can see what's coming 2 plays ahead of schedule, right? Now, you know, he didn't have to dive into that part of his brain as quickly as they did because he's physically more gifted. But the fact that he knows it and knows there's room there. And we saw an adjustment last year. We talked about during the season last year how good he was playing in the pocket, staying in the pocket, going through reads, not looking for Tyreek Hill, you know, seven pats down there. He made adjustments to his game last year. He will continue. I don't doubt that at all. And that's the cool thing about him having Blaine Gabbert there. He can pick Blaine Gabbert's brain all the time and be like, what did Tom do when he did this? What did Tom do when they did that? What did Tom do in the Friday meeting? What did Tom say when the coach said that? And that's going to be great benefit to Patrick Mahomes, who's, yeah, on the chase to be the royal goat, the goatness himself.
And that's what's concerning, I think, to every other team that competes with the Chiefs. This guy's got an incredible amount of natural ability, and he has put in the effort, and he has the desire to be even better. And he's spotting his flaws. He knows where he needs to improve, and he's determined to get there. He's not content to ever rest on anything he's ever done. And that's why, even though he's five behind Tom Brady, get used to it, I think, with the Chiefs. Even though they've had to pull a rabbit out of the hat and or their butts in their two Super Bowl wins, down double digits in the second half. That's just part of
how they live. That's what they do.
The more he does it, the easier it is, because the more the opponent's going to be thinking, oh God, here it comes. And here it comes from Patrick Mahomes. Now, one of the other factors, and I know Chiefs fans love it when I talk about how underpaid Patrick Mahomes is, but he is. And he was the highest paid player in football 3 years ago at $45 million per year, new money average. Now he's $7.5 million behind Justin Herbert. It's only going to get worse when Joe Burrow signs his contract. He explained to Breer that he's looked at the way Tom Brady did things. You want to make money for yourself and for your family. You want to keep pushing the market forward for other quarterbacks. You don't want to be someone that they use against other players. But at the same time, I want these other guys to get paid. Now, here's the problem. Where he currently is on the spectrum, it isn't pushing the market forward for anybody.
No.
And it is something that can be used by other teams and against other players on his own team, like Chris Jones. He says he wants other guys to get paid, and he mentions Chris Jones and Travis Kelce. Well, Jones isn't getting paid. He's holding out. And Kelce is embarrassingly underpaid, too. He's more embarrassingly underpaid, I would argue, than Mahomes at $15 million a year, when a high-end receiver, 30, that's inflated by the back end of the contract, let's say 27, 28, Kelce should be up in that range too. So it's not like the money he's leaving behind is causing his other guys to get a windfall. By him leaving that money behind, it makes it easier for the Chiefs to say to those guys, who do you think you are? Patrick Mahomes isn't insisting on top of the market. Why should you? That's how it gets used against other players.
Well, yeah, that's where I'm surprised. Where this is where, again, I don't understand other teams sometimes. Where, you know I've brought this up before, but like, you know, why did other teams just let the market explode the way it did after Mahomes? You could easily, some of these teams just have been like, Mahomes is making this. You're not as good as him. You got to go a little less. I don't give a shit who you are. Sorry, you're not Mahomes. He's Mahomes. He's here. Everybody else is here. We've had this conversation before. It's like teams cause these own problems from themselves. Oh, we got to one-up the last guy. I don't know. In the old days, you know, you and I both know, that used to go on where they'd be like, no. Joe Montana makes this, so Phil Simms, you don't make that. You got to do what he does, and then you can make that. And that's the way it worked. Now it's just like, hey, next guy up. And if he's even the stratosphere of a top 10 guy, it's the best contract now. I don't understand that, why teams take that approach. But, yeah, it's crazy. But Mahomes is so aware, like we talked about, whether it was on the field reading defenses or whatever else, he's aware of what he's being paid and he's underpaid. But as we've hit a number of times over the last few weeks, he's more aware of how everybody gushes about Tom Brady and here talks about him as the GOAT. And the number one thing that always goes into that conversation about the GOAT, other than how he prepared himself and diet and all that, is that he took less the last 8 or 10 years of his career to accumulate more championships. And that's, again, to your point, where it's going to get used against people like Mahomes and Burrow and Herbert and all that, because they want to be great and be in the pantheons of the all-time great, so they're going to take a little less so they can make sure other guys get paid and the team is really good.
By the way, that graphic is going to need to be updated because Aaron Rodgers gave up about $17 million a year. So he's no longer at 50.3, but he was. And, you know, we went through that period where every guy, next guy gets a little bit more than the one before. It went Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford with a redo. Before that, it was Derek Carr, Andrew Luck. I mean, it stagnated for a while.
Yes, it did.
And you weren't seeing, and I think Tom Brady's latter years had
right.
something to do with it
right.
for the reasons that you said. Who do you think you are, Tom Brady? Look at what Brady's making. We're not going to do it. It went through that cycle for a little bit like 5 or 6 years ago. Then it flattened out again, and it was just Rodgers and Russell Wilson.
Right.
And now with Mahomes, it's unlocked this new thing. I think the Deshaun Watson contract,
yeah.
guaranteeing that deal.
Definitely.
That had something to do with it. And now this year, we've seen Hurts crack well past $50 million a year at 51. Lamar at 52. Justin Herbert at 52.5. We know Burrow's going to be higher than that. Then comes Trevor Lawrence next year. And if Justin Fields has a Jalen Hurts type year, he's going to be up in that conversation too. At what point, if you're Patrick Mahomes, do you say, enough, enough? The understanding when I signed this 12-year contract was at some point it's going to become obsolete. At some point you're going to take care of it. It's already become obsolete. We need to take care of it. I mean, there's a point where, remember when Phillip Rivers signed with the Colts and they gave him $25 million a year and we're like, whoa. But, you know, there's something to be said for, you know, the lawyer who drives the nice car. Everybody's got to believe that you're good at what you do. If you're driving a jalopy, they're like, that guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing. So you got to give the court, you got to tell everybody, this is our guy, and you got to give him that contract. At a certain point, Mahomes is going to fall so far behind the top of the market, it's going to be embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's not going to be becoming of what Patrick Mahomes means to that team.
No, you're right. It is. It looks a little crazy. It does. You know, and I don't know if they can figure out some way to maybe do another 8 or 10 year deal. Something I don't know what they do, you know, but I do know that a guy like Patrick Mahomes is very aware of the dynamics of like Brady, Michael Jordan, who took less forever because he was getting paid by $50 million by Nike in 1989. So it didn't matter. But the two goats of our era right now took less for a significant part of their careers. And I think that, you know, the smart players and the guys that think about legacy, they're aware of that. And he's going to continue to fight this balance and probably will suppress the market a little bit because he's going to worry about, wait, I'm the man. I want to continue to be the man. I want the team to be good. I want to win the Super Bowls and do all that. And for a guy like Mahomes, he's getting to the stratosphere too, where this is the other aspect of this, where I don't know, Mike, who's worth more right now? Is it Peyton Manning or Tom Brady? Do you know who's worth more money in the bank? I think it's Tom Brady, right? The guy who took less is worth more. Well, why?
I don't know.
I think it is.
I don't know how the FTX thing affected Brady's overall portfolio.
Well, I don't think he gave $1 to the FTX. They gave him like a bunch of millions of dollars worth of FTX crap, but I don't think, in my understanding, he didn't give a dollar. He had a bunch of money worth that, invested in it, and that's how they get him to do commercials. At least that's my understanding. But either way, the point is that, you know, last time I Googled it, Brady had more money and he took less. But he also, because he was the GOAT, he could just say, hey, I want this many millions for this appearance and this many millions for this commercial and all that. So that's where, you know, players like Mahomes can, you know, play this balancing act a little bit as well.
We're never going to get reliable information
on
Google or elsewhere
right.
when it comes to something
How
like this.
How dare you? Google's always right.
I have a feeling Omaha Productions
Ooh.
Is a freaking gold mine.
You're right. It is now. He might be worth more now. You're right. You're right.
Now, here's where I want to throw something out there. I hadn't planned to talk about this, which pretty much captures 95% of what we talk about. But we talk from time to time about how NFL players want to be like NBA players. And it's almost like when there's a great NBA player, it's a given that at some point
given.
He's going to go somewhere
Supermax
else.
Supermax contract right? somewhere else, whatever. Yeah, right.
Right. When will this happen that, okay, first round pick, quarterback, or a second rounder like a Jalen Hurts who becomes great.
Right.
Guy says, you know what? I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. I'm going to stay here for my rookie contract. You can tag me twice. And if you want to give me a 44% raise over my second tag, you can tag me a third time. But then I'm out of here. I'm going to, you know, and you don't have to put it on a billboard, but if that's just his plan from the get-go, that he's going to pick, he's going to do the Tom Brady late career, I'm going to go find my next frontier. I'm going to go handpick a situation where it's rigged for me to win so I can add to my legacy. I'll go to this team. I'll go to that team. I'll sign a short-term contract because I'll have all the leverage as I become an unrestricted free agent. And then I'll just go to this team and I'll go to that team. It's like what Brady fell into 19 years in. What if one of these guys decides that that's how he's going to run his career and he's going to start hopscotching from team to team, LeBron James style, 6-7 years in? Isn't it just a matter of time before somebody does that?
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting point. I don't think it's as easy in football. I know Brady and Stafford did it, and we are like, whoa, wait, you could do it in 1 year and go win the Super Bowl and do all that type of stuff. I still think that's the outlier more than the reality of how easily that can be done, right? And then, you know, I think the other conversation is there. You'll be more vilified, I think, in the NFL doing that, especially a quarterback, right? I think people can deal with, like, defense
by
ends.
Who?
Corner.
By who?
By the fans. By I think the fans will do it, you know, and just because of, like, the point you bring up all the time. The loyalty is to the laundry, to the logo on the helmet. The NBA is not like that. The NBA, the loyalty is to the players. It's a player-driven sport. You know, one guy goes to a new team, and we go, whoa, Kevin Durant, whatever team he's going to join this year, we'll see whatever one he picks. We're going to go, whoa, you know, they're in the NBA Finals conversation. Football doesn't always work like that. I mean, it rarely works like that. And I do think that there's more – you know, fans that are obsessed with the logo and the team. And I think that, yeah, they'd get on a quarterback if he started to do that on a, you know, every year basis or did that too much.
Not if they think they had a chance of getting him on their team.
Yeah, well, you're right.
That's when,
for that year,
that's when
like
they would
it.
Warm up very quickly to the yeah. idea. But, I mean, just think about that. A guy who comes in and says, I'm doing my 7 years with the team that drafted me, and then I become unrestricted. And I'm only signing a 2-year deal with no tag. 2-year deal, no tag. And we'll decide after the 2 years where this is going to go. And then after that, I'll either stay or I'll go somewhere else. You're getting recruited every other year. You get to pick your spot every other year. You go get to pick a super team every other year where you're the guy that takes a team that's – you're the Aaron Rodgers. See, we're seeing guys do it late in their career between Brady and Stafford and Rodgers. My point is – at some point, one of these guys needs to say, I'm going to do it early in my career, and it's going to be the bulk of my career, the best of my prime. And all those years I can milk out of it on the back end, I'm just going to go to where I think every other year, because I don't think you could do one-year deals, but maybe. Let's get nuts. Let's do one-year deals. I'll go every year to the team where I think I got a good chance to win a Super Bowl. And wouldn't it be something if we ultimately see a quarterback who wins a Super Bowl with 3 or 4 different teams? I just feel like at some point, as time moves forward, and maybe we'll both be alive to see it, maybe one of us, maybe neither of us, I just feel like it's inevitable that someone is going to enter the sport with that mindset that this is how I'm going to do this. And he's going to be good enough to pull it off, and he's going to achieve enough in his first 7 years with his first team to lay the foundation to do in his late 20s, what Brady and Rodgers did in their late 30s, or in Brady's case, early 40s.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I don't doubt what you're saying there. And I would not be shocked if we saw it. It goes against a little bit of the thoughts of football, right? Where, like, you heard Joe Burrow a few weeks ago, like, hey, you know, he talked about, you know, relationships between the best players on the team. That's how you build something. That's how you build a culture. It's how you build a winning success. Those are things that, of course, football players do believe in, and you'd be kind of skirting that to a degree, right? But, yeah, like we've seen, it's not impossible. It's not. We saw Brady and Stafford do it, and they got it done. And we saw Peyton Manning do it, too, with the Denver Broncos, right? So, I mean, I don't think you're crazy to think that that happens at some point. But yeah, it's not quite like the NBA. And I think quarterbacks are a little bit more into – you know, building something and being like, I'm the best player in this history of this franchise, right? And that's where maybe, you know, you're going to have to find one that's out of that mold a little bit and thinks a little differently like you're talking about.
You got to get somebody who breaks from the mold,
yeah,
the brainwashing, yeah, from the indoctrination that comes from being a fan of the NFL, that you see the value in your own individual career from one team to another, not this idea that I want to be one of the all-time greats for the team that I was drafted by, and I want to stay here, and I want to be here for 20 years. So I just think at some point there's going to be somebody who's wired that way that says, I'm going to treat this like the full NBA experience. And if one does it, maybe
that will start it off. Yep.
The attitude toward NFL players doing what NBA players do. All right, we got to take a break. When we return, George Pickens had some interesting comments to Kevin Clark of The Ringer. We'll share with you some of the best when PFT Live continues right after this. Super Bowl 43 MVP Santonio Holmes at Steelers practice, coaching up George Pickens a little bit. I would listen to Santonio Holmes. That catch he made back in the end zone to deliver the victory over the Cardinals. Some thought Ben Roethlisberger should have been the MVP. There's the guy who won the MVP. And George Pickens, good enough to do the exact same thing under the right circumstances. He is incredible. The catches he makes, the blocks that he can accomplish, he puts guys on their butts. And he had some comments to Kevin Clark of The Ringer that kind of give us a look inside of how he thinks and what makes him tick. And here's why he is such an aggressive blocker. I'm big, I'm fast, low 4.4 speed, catch radius is crazy. Every time I get out on the field, I do kind of play angry because I should get the ball on every play. Just look at the size and the frame. If I was a coach, I'd throw it to him every time. But that's not how the NFL works. So every time I'm out there, that's why I throw blocks. I love getting the ball, and when I'm not getting the ball, I play angry, so the attention is back on me. I basically draw attention to myself. I'd never thought of it that way. When the play isn't called toward you, don't lollygag to the line of scrimmage like Randy Moss used to do and just stand there. Go put someone on their ass. Oh. And that's what he always does. Look at that.
He's a football player. There's no doubt about that. He answered that question last year, and I don't know why we shouldn't be shocked. You know, Georgia, of course, is one of the more physical teams in football, and they got that type of attitude. But, yeah, he ain't afraid of contact. And then, of course, he's got the bravado and the swag of every elite freaky receiver I've ever been with. You know, this is why, you know, at some point during the year, we're going to see him throw the helmet on the sideline and be mad he doesn't get the ball. Because, him, the Odell Beckham Jr.'s, the Julio Jones of the world, Brandon Marshall, you've heard me talk about all of them. When they don't get the ball, they are like, what is going on? Why is our coach so stupid? I'm the best athlete on the team. Why am I not getting it? And then you got to deal with it as a quarterback because you got to hear they're open every play. It doesn't matter. Wait, good. Well, wait, here, there's a picture here. There's three guys on you. Just throw it up, man. Put it in a spot where you just – so that's the way those guys think, and that's why they can get very emotional and, you know, be fun to be with at times.
He also had some comments about the guys who try to cover him, and he has some that he regards as overthinkers.
Mm.
Specifically, he says Xavien Howard and Jalen Ramsey are overthinkers, and those are the best guys. That's why I think most DBs can't really check me. It gets back to what we were talking about earlier about hesitation. You can't hesitate. You can't try to play a guessing game about where the guy's going to go. You just have to go. And if you think too much, that guy's going to run right by you, and you're not going to be in position when the ball comes in and he makes that ridiculous catch.
Yeah, no, he's nuanced, this guy. You know, it's just not just some guy who just, ooh, wait, I'm just going to run by you with, you know, low 4.4 speed and that's it. The route running's real, right? He knows how to, like, play head games with the DBs a little bit. Wait, they saw me release like this a few times. They're going to think I'm going to run this route, but this time I'm going to use it against them and run another route, right? You know, so he's got, you know, some feel for the game, some instincts there that I think that's why you hear the Steelers talk about him in such high regard. Like, he's got, you know, superstar-type qualities. And that's what's kind of, like, exciting and intriguing about the Steelers this year. The O-line should be better. Pickett in year two. You know, Deontay Johnson we know is damn good. Freiermuth is damn good at tight end. And now you got Pickens, you know, on the outside, and you might have to worry about Najee Harris in a real run game this year. I'm excited to see what Matt Canada and this offense might look like. And will they get out of the dink and dunk short passes and start attacking with this freak down the field? That's what I want to see from the Steelers.
The Steelers can be at their most dangerous when no one expects anything from them. And they're just kind of the also-ran, you know, they're slipping to the back of the pack in their own division. Nobody's looking at the Steelers as a serious contender this year. And that just plays right into their hands. And you're laying out the reasons why maybe they should be taken more seriously. Pickens had another great comment, too, about defensive backs who get in what he called the toilet position, where when they're up against the line and they crouch.
Yeah.
And I think of Lester Hayes. Remember how Lester Hayes would get down like that?
His hands would be dangling.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
He just shoves them right into the ground. It's easy. They're already like off balance, holding themselves there. And he just, you know, that makes it easier to just put them on the ground. It's great to see a receiver with just that kind of raw physicality and isn't just willing to use it. He's desperate to use it, and he channels his frustration at not getting the ball on every single play into taking it out on the guy across from him.
Yeah, the Steelers got some difference makers, right? Is it enough? Do they have enough depth? Is the O-line going to be good enough? You know, is the interior part of their D-line and middle linebackers good enough? We know T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith and Minka Fitzpatrick are real, right? Pickens, Deontay Johnson, Najee Harris, Pickett, all of them are good. It's the meat and potatoes of their roster that we got to see, right? And not that I think they're going to be bad. I just don't know how good they're going to be. And like you said, I think if we were just sitting here and we were objectively evaluating on paper, yeah, I would say their roster is fourth best in the AFC North as we sit here right now. Right, I'm definitely going to say the Ravens and Bengals are 1-2. I'm going to give the Browns 3 and then go with the Steelers. But like you said, there's a culture up there, the physicality with the Steelers, and we'll see how this O-line gels together. Is Cam Hayward still a stud? And who else can help them out on the interior part of the D-line to, you know, make them a real force in the AFC? Those are some of the things I got to see to totally believe it in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh Steelers have not finished last in their division since 1988.
Wow.
And this year, there could be danger of it, but I think that plays right into Mike Tomlin's hands to ensure that it doesn't happen. All right, we're going to take a break. Jerry Jones apparently still intends to keep Jimmy Johnson out of the Ring of Honor. He has an interesting explanation for his latest snub of Johnson. We'll discuss that next on PFT Live. Football returns this week, Thursday night, from Canton, Ohio, location of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's the Hall of Fame game, the New York Jets against the Cleveland Browns.
Football.
Coverage begins 7 p.m. Eastern on NBC and Peacock. One of those busts belongs to the well-coiffed Jimmy Johnson, former Cowboys coach. He's in the Hall of Fame, but he's not in the Cowboys Ring of Honor. Now, when Johnson made it to the Hall of Fame, Jerry Jones, possibly after a few tumblers of Johnny Walker Blue, said that Johnson would be placed in the team's Ring of Honor. That still hasn't happened. And yesterday, Jones had a pretty interesting justification for keeping Johnson out. We're going to make those announcements as we go. We'll just let that go. I've got a couple of coaches in addition to Jimmy that ought to be in that Ring of Honor. Well, there's only one other Cowboys coach that's in it, and that's Tom Landry. And there aren't many other Cowboys coaches other than those two, because for the first 35 years of the team's existence, it was Tom Landry and Jimmy Johnson. After that, it's Barry Switzer, Chan Gailey, Dave Campo, Bill Parcells, Wade Phillips, Jason Garrett, and the current head coach, Mike McCarthy. I would love to climb onto Jerry's bus and have a conversation about which couple of coaches from that group would belong in what he calls a very exclusive, highly exclusive club of the Ring of Honor.
Man.
When only one of them got as far as an NFC Championship game, and that was Barry Switzer with the team that Jimmy Johnson built up in the first place.
It's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. It makes Jerry Jones look very petty. It does. I mean, whatever the hell he was saying there with that. And, you know, he went on with another, you know, few talking points where you're like, what? I don't even know what point you're making. He'd be better off if he just went out and said, you know what? I don't like Jimmy Johnson. He's a jerk, and I don't want him in the Ring of Honor. I'd respect that more than this crap he's pulling off here. But come on. I mean, he's definitely the second greatest coach in the history of the organization. Barry Switzer should have an asterisk next to his Super Bowl. It should be like half Jimmy Johnson's. The whole NFC and all of football was so freaking happy. And I can speak to this because my dad was playing and, you know, embedded in that Jimmy Johnson left the Cowboys in their prime. Holy crap. Right? Have you ever watched America's game in the 95 Cowboys? Troy Aikman talks about it, how they got worse every year. He said the 95 team was worse than the 94 team, which was worse than the 93 and 92 team, and they won the Super Bowl. But everything, the whole culture and what we knew of the Cowboys was all changed by Jimmy Johnson. How about them Cowboys as a thing because of Jimmy Johnson, right? I mean, yeah, it makes no sense to me. And honestly, yeah, I think Jerry Jones looks very petty in this one.
And he's the rare college coach who came to the NFL and instantly figured it out. It's an inherently different game, contrary to what Urban Meyer thought. Jimmy Johnson knew it was different. He figured out what it took to be successful. He changed the culture, and it worked, and he built that team. See, the core of this is who gets credit for the team that won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. Jerry Jones wants more credit than anyone gives him, and my guess is he knows from Jimmy Johnson. He senses, if Johnson hasn't flat out said it, I built this team. All you did was sign the checks.
I think that's fair. I think that's what everybody thinks. I don't think, you know, we're putting anything else crazy out in the world there. I give Jerry Jones a lot of credit. He did, you know, expand the business of the Cowboys and the NFL and certainly embolden them not to be scared to spend money or be aggressive and do some of that. But, yeah, I mean, it still goes back to Jimmy Johnson. And, of course, I give Jerry Jones great credit for hiring Barry Switzer and having the guts to fire a legend like Tom Landry. He does deserve some credit. I know that. That's for sure. But, you know, to not have the second greatest coach in the history of your franchise not in the Ring of Honor because of some personal little spat or you want more attention or credit or whatever else, yeah, that's just not right. And I hope one day this gets done.
And, you know, at the end of the day, the explanation for why he's doing what he's doing might be the same explanation as why he has a super yacht. Because he can.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. He's doing it because he can. He's the guy who's the custodian for who gets in to the Ring of Honor for as long as he owns the team. And he's not putting Jimmy Johnson in because he can. Because he's in charge. And that's the reminder, lest there be any doubt as to who was in charge of those Cowboys teams that won those Super Bowls. Jimmy Johnson wasn't in charge of those teams. I was in charge of those teams. And if Jimmy Johnson isn't willing to admit that, I'll show him I was in charge of those teams by being in charge of the Ring of Honor and never putting him in it. All right, we got to take a break. When we return, the Grid Game is back. Crossovergrid.com/PFT. Get there now and play along as Chris and I, hopefully, we did well last week. We didn't need much help from Pete Demolitis. Hopefully, we can get through again today without making ourselves look like the morons that we are. More PFT Live right after this.
You talked to us last time on Part of My Take. You said that you had considered getting a pet lion on the sidelines.
I did.
Have you had any further conversations about bringing a live lion?
Well, I would say that Sheila she had no problem with it, but the league apparently frowns on this type of thing.
Roger Goodell, John Gruden.
I'm not going to point out Roger on this. I'm just going to say that the league frowns on that. Let's just say that.
Okay. It'd be nice though to have a lion sitting behind Jack Fox, being like, "You better punt that."
It does add a little scare tactic.
It does.
You guys got to play.
It's a little extra motivation. Yeah. Yes, it does.
I love that.
Is it me?
Pardon my take talking to
Or does Dan Campbell. Campbell already look like a lion? I mean, is he the only coach in football that looks like the actual team mascot? Right. I think he is.
That's true. Damn. I mean, I never thought of it that way. He needs to grow his hair out like he used to when he was playing.
Right,
and then
right.
he would have the full lion look.
Got the mane. Right. Yeah, right. So, yeah, you're right. Berkey is in my area. He goes, it's like a little like John Elway, the John Elway effect. And, you know, people used to get on John Elway with his smile and the horse and all that. So, yeah.
We've got the crossover grid for today. A special one made just for us. Crossovergrid.com/PFT and play along. This one is not easy. Here are the topics, and here's how it works. It's a 9-square, like Hollywood squares, where you have intersections of vertical and horizontal categories, and you have to figure out who fits in those intersections. And the goal is to pick someone with a low percentage, someone that isn't the obvious choice. So today, across the top, the Rams, the Panthers, and undrafted, played 10 or more seasons. Those are the three across the top. The horizontal categories are Cowboys, Eagles, and 1,000 or more receiving yards in a single season. And Chris, as soon as you saw this during the break, you crapped your pants.
I did.
Over that lower right corner intersection of 1,000 or more receiving yards in a single season and undrafted and played 10 or more years. I know this is one of those, and when I do these games, 4, 5, 6 of them I instantly know. It's the last 2 or 3, sometimes 4, that I'm just like driving myself crazy trying to think of who fits. This one, I'll take this one
take
first.
Take it.
This one, and you'll be ashamed that you were perplexed. Rod Smith, Denver Broncos.
Oh my gosh, you're right. I am ashamed. You're totally right. I'm ashamed of that. That's what happened.
Play with him?
No, I didn't play with him. But I mean, damn, I was going to school with Kyle Shanahan in Texas when he was on the damn Broncos and knew those stories. I'm a dumbass for that one. That one, yes, I should have got it.
Don't feel bad. You're a dumbass for many other reasons.
Okay, thank you. It's proof in the pudding, though. When it gets thrown out here and we're just seeing it, it's like you choke under the pressure when you know the time's coming, right? Yeah, I'm a little scared here. All right, wait, Cowboys, Rams, you got anything there in that box on the top left?
Oh, I got, yeah. I mean, this one's inside information. I mean, right up the road from me, Tavon Austin played for both teams.
Oh, that's a good one. I was going to say Dante Fowler, but Tavon Austin will be better. I'm sure that'll be less. So let's take that for sure.
Let's see what it is.
What is that?
What's the percentage? I can't
4.5.
4.5. I'm surprised it's that high.
All right. Here's another one that I just, you know, 1,000-yard receivers, right? Let's the 1,000 yards.
Which category?
Well, let's go the Rams
or
1,000-plus yard single season.
All right.
You know, I mean, we know some of the recent ones, but, like, let's dive back into the top. Like, you want to go Henry Ellard or Flipper Anderson, somebody like that?
Henry Ellard is interesting. Flipper Anderson, well, I was thinking Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch is a possibility. Although, did he have 1,000 yards back
in the 50s? I don't know about that.
I'm not sure.
He played
5 games. Henry Ellard?
Let's go Henry Ellard. Yep. Man, that's a blast from the past right there. There it is.
Let's hope that he had a 1,000-yard season.
Yep.
Let's see. What's the percentage?
All right, 7.5. Not bad.
That's good. That's under 10. Crazy Legs Hirsch did have 1,000 yards, according to Berkey, so I was at least onto something there. Okay, let's finish that category then. Let's hit the middle. Eagles-Rams. I think I may have one for Eagles-Rams.
Well, feel free to say it out loud.
I think I may have one for Eagles-Rams. Oh, I think you're gonna feel dumb or dumber when you consider a certain Super Bowl MVP that played for both teams. Have I narrowed it down for you sufficiently?
A certain Super Bowl MVP.
Super Bowl MVP that played for the Eagles?
Well, there's
and the Rams.
Who am I missing here?
That played for the Eagles? Remember there was a time
Nick Foles played for the Rams? Damn, right.
And it was a disaster, and he almost quit playing for the Rams?
Right? I totally...
He played... Oh.
Woo, man.
The reason I know he played for the Rams is he was as bad can be when he played for the Rams.
Yes, it made his
rise to the Super Bowl MVP stratosphere even more amazing. All right. Panthers, Cowboys. Let's try that one. And for both of these, and I play these games enough that I've got a certain, like, data bank in my brain of guys that I know played for a bunch of different teams.
Gosh.
Usually it's quarterbacks or kickers. I got both of these.
I got both. You got both
these
already?
These are go-tos.
For Cowboys and Panthers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, these are easy. These are easy. Yeah. Give me something hard to sell, as Dwight Schrute would
say. Well, throw a name out. What do you want to hear? Your Cowboys, Panthers. Let me hear it. Who you got there?
This is a guy who played for pretty much every team starting in 1987 as the first overall pick in the draft of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh.
And he ultimately was called off of his couch at age 48, I think, to play for the Panthers. Vinny Testaverde.
That's a great call by
Final answer.
That's a great call
but
by
I know
you.
He played for the Browns. He played for the Ravens. He played for the Jets.
It would have took me a while to think about him with the Panthers. I wouldn't have got there. It would have took me a while. I'd have had to sit here.
That was his last stop.
Holy crap. Yeah, that's
– literally called off of his couch.
You're killing it right now. Okay, what about Eagles, Panthers? You got anything there that fits?
Yeah, I'm going to let you struggle with that one a little bit. Yeah, it's another guy that's played for a bunch of different teams.
Damn it. It's
another quarterback that's played for a bunch of different teams.
It's another quarterback?
Who works for one of the two teams now? Who works for one of the new two teams now?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, McCown is there.
You personally know.
Josh McCown is there. Yeah, that's right. That's another. Yeah. Yeah, see,
the next clue was going to be we saw him at dinner.
I would have got there. Yeah, right. I would have got there, but it, like right here under the gun before a commercial break, I'm choking my ass off right now. I really am. All right, 1,000-yard receivers.
Should we take a break and finish it
up? All right, let's take a break.
Let's take a break and let Chris collect himself because he's against the ropes today.
I'm flustered.
Let's see if he can push himself off with one of these last three squares that we still have. More PFT Live right after this.
Best celebration dance you've done or seen. The Eagles last year when they did the step show. That was the best one I've seen so far.
Recency bias, Travis Kelce with the stanky leg was pretty hard. I haven't seen stanky leg in a minute.
I like Jacoby Jones. It's like, that's hard.
Gronk spike's a great celebration. Might have to do it a couple times this season. We'll see.
There's a Key and Peele skit that was probably my favorite.
AB when he was like twerking in the end zone.
Peach Bowl, we played Pitt in 2021. I did a little dance. You'll have to see the video to see it.
I like the hands up, kind of like that. But I do like the belly walk, too, the Conor McGregor belly walk, bringing that alive.
No-brainer for me after a catch against Texas. Tight end kind of picked me up, tried to push him off, couldn't, and just started shaking my hands and my legs. So that was a big popular one, but it was just very random.
Gritty. I got to go with Gesicki's Gritty from this past year. He took a new age classic and made it his own, and I look to maybe do that with one as well.
Great stuff from some of the NFL's rookies. I had forgotten how badass the Jacoby Jones celebration was.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, we've had some good ones over the years, certainly. Like, and it's fun that the league has, you know, lowered their rules for that, for TV purposes, social media purposes. I mean, we get a laugh, what, once or twice a week about, you know, crazy celebrations in the end zone that are fun and make us giggle. So it's a good thing to have in the sport, that's for sure.
The first great one I remember was Billy White Shoes Johnson with the Oilers in the 70s.
Come on.
He would do the legs flap and he'd do a split. But I think that the iconic and the best and that will never be replaced is Deion Sanders.
Yes, agreed. Just, the greatest
There's only
ever.
One guy that could ever pull that off the way he did. There was one guy that could do it the way he did, and his is the best. Bar none. Everything else is competing for second place. All right. I wonder if Deion Sanders fits on today's grid. Let's finish this grid. Let's see if Chris has any ideas for the final three squares. We ripped through the first six. Here's what we have left for those of you listening on radio or podcast. Cowboy undrafted player who played for 10 or more seasons. Eagles undrafted who played for 10 or more seasons. And a Panthers player who had 1,000 or more receiving yards in a single season. Oh, I just thought of another one there that may not be obvious.
Well, there's Mushin Muhammad, Greg Olson.
Right. What about Christian McCaffrey?
Oh,
I know
McCaffrey
we just talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
McCaffrey.
Which one you want to go with? What do you think is going to be the least amount? What do you think is going to be the...
Well...
Probably Mushin Muhammad.
Is Muhammad going to be lower than McCaffrey? Maybe. Which one do you want to go with? You want to go with Muhammad?
Yeah, let's go.
M-U-H-S-I-N.
Yeah.
M-U-H-S-I-N, Muhammad, and there it is. What do we got? He's in there. Mushi Muhammad had 1,000 yards. Oh. Well, we're screwed now. M-U-H-S-I-N,
That's what happened. That's what happened.
Did you hit the wrong guy?
Yeah, it clicked on a different
guy. Did you fat finger it?
All right, we're going to get Mushin Muhammad. That's coming.
He fat fingered it. Berkey. Oh, Berkey.
Oh, he's choking.
Oh,
all right,
man.
We'll get there.
You're using your last chance.
Let's get to the other ones, right? Why he figures out how to
refresh
type in Mushin Muhammad, all right?
Refresh the page.
At Cowboys, you got anybody? Like, see, these are ones I'm okay with. I had a little time to think about it.
Don't do this to me.
And I'm not
choking.
Don't
do this to me. I'm surprised they haven't played the video. Come on. I mean, Tony Romo is the obvious one. But Drew Pearson, the guy who haunted my childhood.
I was going to go with Everson Walls. That was the one I was going to go with.
That would probably be lower.
I know.
That would be too late now.
Yep, too late. Thanks, Berkey. Yeah, there it is. Boom.
All right.
Touchdown, Drew Pearson.
Why do we have to do that?
Eat it,
okay,
Vikings.
Now, do you have an Eagles, undrafted Eagle, who played 10 or more years? I mean, if it was Viking, I'd say John Randall. Don't know about Eagle.
Eagle, this is where, okay, wait, there's two that I remember through time that are undrafted, right? And I'm just not sure they're 10-plus seasons, so this is where I might need your help. Andre Waters, remember Andre Dirty Waters, number 20,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
I remember him. That was always a thing growing up. And also, Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards, I was just watching something the other day on him in the Miracle of the Meadowlands. So which one do you like there better? You think that's going to be less?
Well, do you have to play 10 seasons with the Eagles, or is it 10 total seasons?
10
did Andre
season,
Waters
right?
play?
Yeah.
All right. Well, whichever one you want to go with. Do you want to go Waters, or do you want to go Edwards?
Let's go Waters.
Dealer's choice.
Let's go Waters. Let's give Andre Waters a little love. What was that percentage, Berkey?
All right.
7.1. Okay, not bad. Not bad.
Now you got to start. We got to get Muhammad in there. Come on, man. Come on. We finished it. All right, we got to get him in. All right.
Well,
auto corrected his name. So Mushin Muhammad would be right. Christian McCaffrey would be right. Steve Smith would be right. Greg Olson would be right. And during the next break, I'm going to see who else had 1,000 yards for. The Panthers in receiving.
Is he spelling that right, Berkey? M-U-H?
It's M-U-H. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll wrap up this Tuesday edition of PFT Live right after this. Well, extra person on set Thursday night, although we won't need another chair. Maria Taylor announced yesterday she is expecting a baby in January. That, Chris, was the best news of the day that I heard. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, no, it's big time news. I'm so happy for Maria. I actually was aware of this a little while ago. She let me in. I'm in the trust tree. Me and Maria are close friends, so I kind of already knew. You know, one day you'll be there with her, but you're not there yet, obviously. But either way, yeah, it is great news. It's Maria's a great person, a great friend, great to work with. She adds so much energy, and she's been working, you know, and her husband have been trying to get pregnant, and I'm just so happy that it happened for them.
Yeah, awesome, awesome news. And we will see her tomorrow.
Tomorrow, that's right.
Canton. It's going to be it's kind of like it's back and it's happening. I'll head to Canton later today. You will as well. Maybe we'll cross paths tonight. Maybe we'll have dinner and you won't show up. And then we'll do the show tomorrow from the library at the Sheraton Suites.
Oh, baby.
Falls.
Yeah.
And maybe from the stadium on Thursday if I'm willing to make the drive.
Are you
down.
Driving and tomorrow?
Friday,
are you going to drive there to the Canton? Are you going to take one of your, you know, big time cars there?
Let's just say I'm going by car.
Oh, baby. All right. Don't be a wimp. Step on the pedal. Open that thing up a little.
All right. See you tomorrow. See you tonight, Chris.
Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.